I hope there's a new type of leader emerging. And part of what my hope is with Purpose Group is that we can show that you can have a successful small business that is run in a purposeful way and first and foremost cares about its team and cares about the impact it has on the world. And then profits will come.
Hello, my name is Soyini Koch, and welcome to the second season of Capitalism Done Right, brought to you by CEO Exclusive and Conscious Capitalism of Atlanta. One conversation at a time, one CEO at a time, we're exploring the capitalism side of conscious capitalism, meaning how real businesses are investing in their relationships with all their stakeholders and employing the tenets of conscious capitalism in such a way that it creates profits. In other words, what we call capitalism done right. In this episode, I'm with the CEO and chairman of the Purpose Group, a private equity group that has chosen to invest in conscious businesses as their niche. I'm really interested in this conversation because private equity firms have to pick financial winners. So exactly how is Jeff thinking about the companies that he's going to buy? What is the Purpose Group looking for? Listen to find out.
Right. Good morning.
Good morning.
So happy to hear with you, Jeff. And for our audience, I'm here this morning with Jeff Hillemeyer, CEO and founder of the Purpose Group, which is a private equity firm that is in this stakeholder capitalism space. And I'll tell you that about 6 months ago, when we were talking about who we would love to have as guests on Capitalism Done Right, I said I specifically wanted to talk to a private equity firm. So here you are.
Yeah. And I didn't have one at that point.
Right.
So I went out, started one just so I could be on the show.
Just for us.
That's right.
And the reason why I was so interested in speaking to private equity firm in particular was because I'm very interested in how people are thinking about profits and the measurement of profits and thinking about, first of all, how do you qualify the companies that you want to invest in? What are the criteria that you're thinking about? How important is purpose and all of the other stakeholder capitalism criteria in that? Yeah. And then how do you think about the profits and the returns from those companies?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're a little different than typical private equity. So to answer the question, I'll explain a little bit. We're much more of a holding company. So like private equity, we acquire companies, but we don't have a mandate to flip them in 3, 5, or 7 years. You know, we're not necessarily trying to cut as much costs or ramp up growth as much as possible. So we're looking for companies that have been around for decades. We're looking for companies that are what we call enduringly profitable. So we want those small businesses that have been in their community for a long time, that do good work, that have a great team, but the owner is looking to transition. In most cases, the ones we talk to are looking to retire. They don't have, you know, a succession plan. They don't have a kid who wants to take over the business. And so their options typically are private equity. And so when they have conversations with private equity, it's, and I've sold businesses to private equity, it's kind of like, all right, you created this great thing. Now here's all the ways we want to change it real quick. And, you know, and then in 5 years, it'll be gone. So for us, it's more of a conversation of, we're much more interested in the team that you have and the impact you make in your community. And so we talk about being a purpose-driven holding company. We're not necessarily looking for purpose in the companies today. We're going to put purpose into them and work with the team and the leadership team to introduce what we call the purpose playbook. So I would say, you know, we want good cultures for sure in these companies, and we want them to be profitable, but we're much more interested in the potential future of the team than we are sort of, you know, what's there today in terms of purpose, if that makes sense.
It does, but can you really put purpose onto a company? Like, you know, plastering it on afterwards, like a post-it, or does it have to be like in the DNA? Because what I've heard is that people say that it has to be in the DNA of the business.
Yeah.
So how are you thinking through making sure that it's real and it's actually an authentic reflection of the company and its culture?
It's a great point. And then also that it continues. You know, we've all seen, you know, the pretty purpose and vision statements that companies have, and then it's a lot of hard work to get that, and then it just sits there and nobody does anything with it. So I would say part of what we're doing is a theory. Part of it is a theory. I have worked with companies. When I started Dragon Army, we didn't have a purpose. And 3 years in, we sort of came together and figured out what our purpose was as a business. So I would say it's possible. The thing is, it has to be authentic. So you mentioned that, right? So any company that we're talking to, we also have to believe that there's purpose within it. And I think in most cases there are, because if you step outside of the exact work you're doing as a business, usually you can start to see, okay, who does this affect and how does this affect people? And are we contributing positively to the world, right? So you wouldn't buy a company and put some massive, like, you know, we're gonna change the global world. You have to talk about your community. But I think it can be done. And I'm excited to go through that process and really let the teams that we, you know, that are on the companies we acquire help us figure that out with them. It's definitely not gonna be us coming in and saying, here's your purpose, now let's do it. It's gonna be, what do you all think is special about this company? And what are you most proud of that you guys do?
That's fascinating. And I think it'll be a very fruitful experiment to see how it works. What are you specifically looking for that helps you tell whether or not a company has the seeds of a higher purpose versus, no, we need to pass on this. There's no there.
It's almost always the leader and the leadership team. So, you know, as I said, when we look at a company, it's typically an owner who's, you know, 70 or 80. They've literally built this company for 50 years and they're retiring. And so for us, it's kind of important there's a number two there that's ready to take over. So when we have those conversations with that number two, usually it's the GM or something, we need to hear, you know, is there purpose within them? You know, is there excitement for doing this kind of work with us? And we've definitely had conversations where that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. And we've had some where we can immediately tell, oh, this, you know, they're reading books like Traction. They're reading Start With Why. And we're like, all right, this is one of our people. So I think unlike a lot of private equity, we're really focused on who is that leader, who's the leadership team, because otherwise we can't, you know, we can't do the things that we want to do. They have to buy in and be the, you know, at the beginning, the biggest cheerleader for this movement.
I mean, as you know, I absolutely agree with you. And one of the questions that's coming up is we unpack what it is that this leader is and is not, is understanding what the psychographics of that person are. What are some of the traits that you're seeing in those people? Like you said, they're lifelong learners. They're involved in their community. They care about their community. They're the kind of person that that emphasizes, you know, people first and culture.
That's right.
What are some of the other things that you are looking for as somebody that you can invest in?
Yeah, and it's a great question. Certainly, we want to understand how they interact with their team. So we're talking to a business right now, and the leader has great rapport with, there's basically six regional offices for this company. And he spends time going to each office, building relationships individually with each of those leaders at the different offices. And just hearing him talk about why he believes his role is important. And it's all about how to help these people do their best. Like that's a quick sign of like, okay, this is somebody that believes in something more than just, you know, straight capitalism, right? Which is important. But we want to hear those kind of things. You know, we also, you know, it's kind of a cliche, but you have a meal with somebody and you start to hear what's important to them. You know, is family important to them? Do they talk about we instead of I? You know, when you ask a leader, what's some of the things you've been most proud of over the last 10 years? They talk about things that have helped the team. That's a good sign. If they talk about only financials or only things that help them, or you know, I won this award, I was the small business person of the year, that's great. But I'd rather hear, oh, here's why I'm excited for all the things we did with the team. So you really have to suss it out and spend a lot of time. So like in our due diligence, we try to spend a lot of time with that leader. And if we can, the leadership team, that's usually harder because not always is the leadership team involved in the process. But you just got to spend a lot of time and you start to see the real character of the person.
So let's kind of broaden things out a little bit. Because you are the purpose group. And maybe this person will watch this. I hope they won't think I'm too mean. But I got an email this week. Lawn care with a purpose. How do you, as you know, somebody who I think of as a leader in this area, not to bash the lawn care with a purpose guy, but What are your thoughts on purpose becoming just a marketing gimmick? It could easily just become, you know, we want to find the best companies and we're going to put private equity with the purpose.
Yeah.
And that'll bring us the best companies, you know, that can. Yeah.
So when we launched Purpose Group, we went through a process of like, how are we going to describe ourselves? Right. And not everybody knows what a holding company is. Right. So we're like, all right, well, private equity, at least people have a connotation with it. So we were like, purpose-driven private equity. It's perfect. And clearly we're the only ones that are going to be saying that. Oh my gosh, every private equity company I found says purpose-driven private equity. And then you look at their site and look at all their language and it speaks nothing about purpose.
Right.
So that was, I mean, we've had conversations before about conscious capitalism and people who really believe in it and people who really just do it because it's the trendy thing. Mm-hmm. So it was very disappointing to me to sort of see that purpose-driven was woven throughout all the private equity world. We also, by the way, in a conversation with one of the potential sellers, they were like, after talking to us, they were like, you shouldn't call yourself private equity because we all know what that really means and that's not what you're doing. Mm. So that got us to change that back half of it. But yeah, no, it's tough. It happened to Dragon Army as well. You know, Dragon Army is a purpose-driven digital agency and yet a bunch of our competitors say it as well. And so you kind of want to peel that back, but you never really get a chance. So,
that's one of the good things we're committed to, as you well know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very interesting this, you know, we're going to start getting, you know, lottery scammers with a purpose, right? You know, like people are going to just hack with a purpose on it. But one of the things that I think is an interesting point of view, which I would love for you to weigh on, is this notion of whether or not it's binary. I don't know. I think it's a cautionary note for us to think of like either a person or a company is purpose driven or is a conscious capitalist or is a stakeholder capitalist versus they're not.
Right.
Because for me, then that starts to cast it into moralistic terms
right. And
drive people into the social performance, right? Where I want to get Larry Fink's approval. So I'm going to say that I'm like, versus characterizing it more as a journey.
Yeah.
And we're all somewhere on that journey, maybe at the beginning. And then there's certain characteristics and things that unfold for the leader or the company as they go further along the trajectory. So I would love for you to weigh in on that because it may very well be the case that it is kind of binary.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it needs to be thought of as a journey. It certainly was for me. I went through something in 2013 that, you know, at that point I had for 15 years been running companies and I never used the word purpose. I never thought about purpose. And since then, that's all I've been thinking about, right? But so you could look back and say, you know, for me, I wasn't a purpose-driven leader, and now I am. So I would say, though, I'm a little more cynical maybe than I wish I was on leaders and, you know, CEOs in particular, and their willingness to really dive into purpose as much as I think that they should.
Okay.
It's very easy as a CEO to put the financials above everything else. And you need to focus on that, obviously. We talk about it, say, at Dragon Army, about the fact that we have to be operationally excellent in order to live into our purpose, right? I think a lot of companies flip that and they say, we can talk about purpose if we're running things well. So it's just like, where does it fall when, you know, when over the last several years, when DE and I finally became important to enough companies, but it's the first thing that's being cut now when times are tough. So is it really important to them or not? So I hope there's a new, type of leader emerging. And part of what my hope is with Purpose Group is that we can show that you can have a successful small business that is run in a purposeful way and first and foremost cares about its team and cares about the impact it has on the world, and then profits will come. And so if we have 8 or 10 companies in our portfolio, say 10 years from now, and they're, you know, beating industry averages, yet when you look at their website, when you talk to their people, it's exuding purpose, I hope that has a ripple effect to help other business leaders say, this is something we can also do. Because I do think it's in people's hearts more. I just don't think they think it's possible to really dive into it. I just don't think there's enough people who've done it right. So that's part of what we're trying to do.
And that's why we call it capitalism done right.
Yeah, right.
Because our philosophy is that there is a way to do it. There's like actual know-how and technical practitioner kind of knowledge on how to get the purpose to have the financial results. So with that, I have a question about the fact that there seems to be a noise problem. So one of the things that's happened is since we last talked, I've done some research. And if you look at longitudinal data sets of companies, whether or not it's Good to Great, what was the other one?
Great by Choice is my actual favorite by him.
Right. Yeah. And then you got Enlightened Capitalists. And then there's another group of HBS professors that have their own longitudinally. It's a group of companies that they studied over long periods of time. It's actually not the case that you would think, oh, every single company or leader who says, I'm going to treat people great.
Right.
All of a sudden, 10 years later, their company is blowing it out from, blowing out their financials. That's just not the case.
Yeah.
They is very noisy. Some of them fail, some of them whatever. And so two, I think, questions from that standpoint is, why do you think that is?
Yeah.
If you have so much conviction that treating people well and putting people first actually does lead to improved financial performance, why is the data so noisy? Mm-hmm. And then the second is, well, now as a private equity firm, you're accountable for this. And so how does it look when you put people first and then you have a company that starts to struggle financially? Like you said, does it, how are you thinking about that? Or are you thinking about that?
Yeah.
So I'd love for you to take on both of those.
Yep, I'll answer the second one first. For us, this is why we have to have a long-term view. So when we talk about our businesses, we want to hold them literally forever.
Wow.
And so our investors know that. And so that allows us to take our time. So we have a multi-year plan to put what we call our purpose playbook into the companies we buy. It's not a 6 months because we need to start seeing results in 9 months. It's let's take our time. These are companies that haven't had a lot of change, right? So that's one way that we get around that because if you told me, hey, you're going to buy a company today and in 3 years it has to be doing extremely well, that would be difficult. What would happen is we would start making decisions based on that and not based on putting purpose into the company, right? So I think there's too much short-term focus, certainly on Wall Street, public companies. Amazon's one of the only ones that I've ever heard that Jeff Bezos from the beginning was like, we're taking a long-term view and you're either along for the ride or you're not. If you read his shareholder letters, he re-emphasizes that to his shareholders every year. It's like, remember, we're on this for the long term. So don't look at these little bumps. I'm making decisions for 3 years from now, not for this quarter. And I'm never going to make decisions just for this quarter so that Wall Street likes it, right? But it's hard to have that sort of tenacity and belief in the long-term view. So I think that's one of the reasons this is so difficult for leaders to start and companies to start embracing. They have shareholders and stakeholders that are demanding results quickly. You can't. If you told me at any company, hey, in a year I need to see results, I couldn't focus on purpose. I'd have to cut. I'd have to, throw in more growth than they're ready for. I'd have to do all the things because I've that short-term perspective. And too much of business is short term. And so that's something that I think really has to change before any of that noise is sort of cut through.
And yet I think that part of what will spur adoption, especially for the people about whom we're cynical, is being able to show that it actually works.
Right.
So there's some folks that I think are adopting and moving towards this way of doing business because it's consistent with their internal value system.
Right.
Then there are others that I think once it's proven that this is actually, quote, a better way to do business, they will start to adopt because it works.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm okay with either one.
The problem is those people who do have that in their heart and they say, okay, I'm going to try this because I've seen that it works. As soon as there's a bump in the road, are they willing to stay with it? Are they willing to play the long-term game here? And that's not easy for everybody. If you're not able to say, okay, I'm going to ride with this for a couple of years because I believe in it that much, then you're going to change as soon as things get tough. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the big challenge to cut through the noise. That's like, how do you shift the thinking to longer term and not so short today?
Right. Yeah. The microwave mentality.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So on that point, one of the things that I think is important to tease out is, to what extent do you believe that this is an intrinsic motivation. Mm. I was talking with an industrial psychologist, and one of the things that he said is that a lot of these characteristics are completely stable over an adult's lifetime. Like the person either has a high degree of empathy or they don't.
Right.
You know, or they are the kind of person that is able to build these kinds of connections, or they don't, or they're profit driven or they're not. And that actually, you know, I think would drive the cynical yeah. piece. To what extent do you think, not so much for the purpose group, because you are only looking for a small number right. of companies, but for those of us, you know, in conscious capitalism who are trying to have this grow and become the dominant way of doing business.
Yeah.
Do you really believe that we're just sifting and just trying to find the people who are like-minded, or can we actually grow people in this philosophy?
It's a great question.
It is. We have it and we got to answer it.
Yeah.
I've been asked directly, are you trying to sift? Or are you trying to coach? Which is it?
You know, I think a leader in Atlanta that I really love, Terrence Lester, talks about proximity. And he says proximity changes everything. Mm. And he typically talks about it from a social justice perspective. But his point is, like, the more that you're around other people and people that aren't like you, the more you're going to understand their challenges, and the more your heart will grow to help them. I think that's the case with this. So I mentioned 2013, you know, something changed with me that made me focus on purpose.
Which was?
Going through Leadership Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So Leadership Atlanta is a program. It's a year-long program. And one of the first things you do is you go through a race awareness weekend. And that process of going through that opened my eyes to the privilege that I have as a human being. I like to think I was empathetic before that, but I also didn't see the world as it is, right? And I'm still trying to see the world as it is. I'm still trying to figure out, like, you know, where my privilege extends, because it extends everywhere. But it was like that flipped and everything changed in my life. So I do think we can expose people to things that maybe open up that, you know, open up the aperture of their empathy. I just don't believe people don't have it inside of them somewhere. So, like, how do you get into that and pull it out? So I do think people can change.
So maybe you're getting a little bit less cynical from the beginning of this.
I know, maybe so.
Oh, like, that's our goal.
Exactly.
You know, we want to, like, yeah. you know, bring that spark out in folks. And I have to hope that too, yeah. you know, that, you mean, or else, like, why bother?
Yeah.
We're just looking for a handful of people. So as we you think about the purpose group and the specific criteria,
mm-hmm.
how are you then going to measure all of these things?
Yeah. Well, partly the proof will be in the putting on the financials over time, because our company need to grow, because that's part of this whole thesis, is that they're going to be more successful the more purpose they have in their team and in their company. But we're working on exactly that. How do you measure purpose? How do you measure? And so there's surveys, there's certain sentiment things you can do to really sort of tease that out. I think there's also a part of, you know, I hate to say this, but and my co-founder Jonathan Morgan would hate that I'm going to say this, but, like, there's also sort of a he's the numbers and the data guy, and yeah. he's amazing. But I think you'll know it when you see it. Also, mm-hmm. the way the team talks, the things they talk about, the way the company meetings are run, you know, it starts to show. And I've seen that evolution. At Dragon Army, we've had people join the company in their first company meeting. They'll say afterwards, like, "Is this a cult? Did I just join a cult? Like, what's happening here?" Like, we have people crying in meetings because they're sharing and there's so much vulnerability. And so, you know, a little bit of it is you can see it and feel it. But we are working on, like, you know, immediately when we buy a company, how can we measure internally what the feeling is and what the culture is, so that then a year later we can see, has it evolved? Is it moving in the right direction? And then correlate that to the performance of the company, which is the big goal, to say, let's marry those two things.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so on that point, do you have, you know, the, like, a framework that you're working through as you think about what are the dimensions that you're looking yeah. for in the culture? Because one of the points of view that, you know, we've talked about and I have, is that there's certain things, that threads that run across all conscious companies.
Yep.
And that's some of what we're looking for.
Yeah. So I've created something called PVTV over the years, Purpose, Vision, Tenets, and Values. And it's a whole process for putting purpose into a company.
This is the playbook?
This is part of the playbook. Yeah, okay. So there's really two sections of the playbook. The first is PVTV. The second is called the Great Game of Business, which is a way to get a team working together, almost like a sports team. So there's books on it, and I mean, it's a great process. So what I've done is taken those two things and put them together. One of my books is fully dedicated to putting those two philosophies together. And that's really the essence of the Purpose Playbook. So yes, we've got a, I would say, tried and true. I mean, I've used this methodology with many companies, and I feel like it's a recipe for success. And I'm really excited to do it with these small, what you might call Main Street businesses, a lawn care business, as you mentioned earlier. Like, let's really see a purpose-driven lawn care company coming out soon.
All right. Well, I'll send you his email. His email on to you. So what's next for the Purpose Group? What is like your immediate, you know,
yeah,
your first full year? What's next for you all?
Yeah. So the first thing we want to do is acquire our first company. And so we're 5 months in. We started last October. And we've been spending a lot of time with owners, looking to sell their businesses, traveling. We're going to Kentucky next week. We're just really start trying to get a sense of, which businesses are going to be the best for our philosophy and which sellers are going to be buying into it. So I would say that's the, by the end of this year, I'd love to have two companies in our portfolio, start running the play with them. And then we'll continue to look for new businesses. But we're also teasing the idea of, like, do we write a specific book on this whole process and how, we're looking to put purpose into Main Street businesses. My dad has a vending company, and I used to work for him 30 years ago and when I was in high school. They're a bunch of hardworking people. I don't know that my dad's ever used the word culture. I know he hasn't used the word purpose when it comes to business, but what if the people coming to his vending company every day were like excited about the impact they were making, and felt valued with the work, they certainly they're getting a paycheck and that's important to take care of their families. But like, wouldn't it be awesome if more people love their jobs? And this is part of at the heart of everything we're doing in Purpose Group. I happen to fall into entrepreneurship in college. And I have loved every day of work since then.
Right.
I've loved it. It's great, right? And not everybody can be an entrepreneur, but I also think people can find the world would be such a better place if people loved their jobs.
That's our vision. That's a part of the vision.
Capitalism done right.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a part of the vision.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, listen, it's been really great to reconnect with you and hear about the Purpose Group. And for our audience, it's been wonderful spending this time with you. And, that's it for Capitalism Done Right.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening. I know you listeners are busy, busy, busy people. So what did you hear that makes the investment of your time worthwhile? Here's my thought. When Jeff described what they're looking for in the businesses that the Purpose Group will buy, he talked about companies that have long-standing relationships in the community, companies that have deep roots, so to speak, businesses that are like a family member. You visit them or see them every week or every month. These businesses are a part of your life. Do you have any businesses that are like that for you? I do. In fact, when John Mackey in the book Conscious Capitalism talked about his first location for Whole Foods, he talked about how after a natural disaster, he had lost a significant amount of inventory in that location. And was wondering how his business was gonna make it. And what happened is that he had built so much, quote, equity in the relationships in his community, with his customers, with his bankers, that the community actually came to his aid and helped save his business from that crisis. And so I think the point is that all that goodwill that is built up through investing in the stakeholders and investing in your employees and investing in your community has real financial value. So much so that a private equity firm like Jeff's is willing to bet their money on it. So if you want some help in understanding how to get your community, employees, vendors, and customers to love your business just like a family member, then come hang out with us at Conscious Capitalism. That's what we're all about. So take a look at our website, subscribe to the newsletter, and come join us at an event. Listen, I want every CEO, business owner, and business leader in the world running their businesses this way, because I think it's the right way to do business. So please rate and review this episode on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Send it out to a friend or colleague. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm very easy to find and always interested in your feedback. I want to bring up one more thing. Did you catch Jeff's story about his revelation in 2013 when he went to visit parts of the city, Atlanta, that he hadn't seen before? He said that he saw his privilege clearly for the first time. And the reason was because he was in proximity. And maybe I'll use another word, relationship. So through proximity, his eyes were opened. And I would really like everyone to take note of this. It was not through lecturing. It wasn't through punditry on TV. It wasn't through blaming or shaming. It was through connection and relationship, his own experience and exposure, that Jeff's opinions were changed. Please take note, everybody in DE&I. Listen, a wise woman once told me that it is actually only through individual relationships that our racial and equity issues in the United States will be healed. So, as difficult as it might be, if you want to be part of the solution, which I do, then the answer, I think, is to get into proximity, relationship, with someone who looks, thinks, and believes differently than you do. We're going to heal this thing one relationship at a time. And that wraps up our time together on Capitalism Done Right, brought to you by CEO Exclusive and Conscious Capitalism Atlanta. Until next time, go out and do something great, amazing, and transformative, and very, very good in the world with your business.